Support for this public radio podcast is provided by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org. And by Constellation Energy, a global provider of fuels, power, and energy services, committed to environmentally sound, energy-efficient, and sustainable energy solutions. Constellation Energy, the way energy works.
Countrywide is on its side.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Lisa Napoli. Digging for the whys and wherefores of the mortgage crisis, the Justice Department has found a new wrinkle. It's been reported that lender Countrywide is being investigated by the FBI for suspected securities fraud. Bank of America says it still plans to move ahead with its $4 billion takeover of the faltering mortgage giant. The already bad credit market took a turn for the worse last week. Now the Federal Reserve is offering to come to the rescue. Here's Marketplace's Bob Moon.
The nation's monetary doctors have been pouring on the medicine in the form of interest rate relief, but still haven't been able to stabilize the credit market.
You got to stop the bleeding before you can treat the patient.
At Cumberland Advisors, Chief Investment Officer David Kotok says that's why, in the weeks ahead, the $160 billion the Fed's already loaned to struggling banks will be almost doubled.
This is raw cash going right to the banks from the Federal Reserve.
Banks need that direct infusion because they see themselves as being in no condition to give up their own lifeblood.
Banks worry about lending to each other. They're worried about risk. What the Fed has done is said, look, come right to us, and we'll loan money right to you.
It might not cure the credit market, but does help keep it alive, writes an ICAP chief economist Lou Crandall.
The Fed's been trying to buy time for months now, and they'll continue to try to do that.
But Crandall says what's still not clear is how much time the banks will need to recover. In Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon for Marketplace.
On Wall Street Friday, markets closed down as those rotten job reports came out and use of the R word started to rise. That had a cascading effect in Japan today as the Nikkei fell to its lowest in more than 2 years. Oil retreated a bit today after crossing the $106 a barrel milestone on Friday, but gas prices are reaching another record. The Lundberg survey of 7,000 stations across the country found a gallon up 9 cents over the last 2 weeks. A different sort of commodity is always an issue in Africa. From Cape Town, Terry Fitzpatrick says this isn't about growing grain, but rather trading against it.
Farming in Africa is tough enough without the risk that bureaucrats or middlemen will cheat you when you sell your crop. Economist Mohamed Karan says commodity exchanges are needed to ensure stable markets.
African agriculture in particular is exposed to volatility, which then affects brings us an uncertainty.
That uncertainty could end in Ethiopia when the nation's first exchange opens in March. Farmers will know the daily price for crops and can negotiate future contracts. It's part of a push throughout Africa to deregulate agriculture and let markets determine prices. Chris Sturgis at the Johannesburg Exchange thinks more trading centers are coming.
If government is going to be setting the prices of your commodities, you don't need an exchange. Because government will say, fine, your price today is $100 for your corn, and that's it.
Experts say free market exchanges can bring better incomes for farmers, bringing food security to Africa. In Cape Town, I'm Terry Fitzpatrick for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the American Public Transportation Association, working toward energy independence with 10 billion transit trips per year at publictransportation.org. Sustainability coverage supported by Calvert, mutual funds, college savings, and retirement investments in companies committed to responsible environmental, social, and governance practices, calvert.com. Middle East reporting is supported by Cleveland Clinic, expanding globally and committed every day to providing innovative treatments and hope to patients worldwide. Online at clevelandclinic.org.
Steve Miller has had a hand in some of America's biggest corporations at their worst time of need. Chrysler, Bethlehem Steel, Waste Management among them. Now he's written a book about his adventures in corporate America. It's called The Turnaround Kid. Fortune magazine's Alan Sloan says the Steve Miller book is a great read, partly because his book isn't just about business.
Well, if it had not been for the first chapter, I probably would have thrown the entire book away, because it describes Miller rushing to the hospital in suburban Detroit where his wife is lying terminal, and how she dies before he gets there because his plane was late.
Ooh.
And you say, whoa, who would write this? So suddenly I'm sitting up and I'm paying attention. Because mm-hmm. you don't see things like this, Lisa, ever.
He's far more confessional than a guy in a suit usually is, especially in his memoir where they're usually congratulating themselves for all their fantastic accomplishments.
Yeah, I mean, so you have this whole confessional tone that trickles in through it with amazing, sort of interesting personal stories. At least I find them amazing. And the business stuff is usually, you know, 6 ways to turn around the company, 27 reasons I'm a genius. I mean, you know what these things are like.
Yeah.
And the business stuff, I mean, obviously some of it is self-serving, but a lot of it is really interesting because it's written very simply, and he doesn't pretend that he succeeded at everything. You can make a case, at least I do, that if it weren't for Miller and this company Delphi, this parts maker that's still trying to get out of bankruptcy, if he had not taken that thing into bankruptcy, I think in the end, all of the Detroit 3 auto companies would absolutely have had to go Chapter 11. They, some of them may have to go Chapter 11 anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But at least now they have a fighting chance.
One of the interesting things you write about is Miller's interaction with Lee Iacocca.
He was in the hierarchy of Chrysler under Iacocca and did very well. But he writes that in his opinion, Iacocca got to think of himself as a king. Everybody kissed various parts of Iacocca's anatomy, and that the company was starting to slip back into the bad habits that it had before Iacocca parachuted in and tried to save it. And somehow or other, he ends up writing a letter about Iacocca's failings and handing it to Iacocca. And in fact, I think you can argue that that's what launched Miller as a freelance corporate turnaround guy, because if anybody handed me a letter like that, I probably wouldn't want him around either.
That's Fortune Magazine's Alan Sloan talking about the new book by Steve Miller. It's called The Turnaround Kid in Los Angeles. I'm Lisa Napoli. Enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.